Hey guys, good morning. I'm Nick Baker, and I am your host. And you're listening to Becoming More Than I Am Now. And it's amazing how God has given us the opportunity to see what it's like to be a man of God and to focus on the ability of what he has given us to do what we are capable of doing. I'm going to be doing a video soon, a series on prosperity gospels. I'm going to be working on that sometime this week. But I would like you to see the purpose of why I am talking about what I'm talking about. Yesterday, I talked about tithing and why I don't tithe in church and why I don't believe in it. All the time I tithe in church, if it's a non-profit organization like Great Fellowship, that's the only time I tithe. But if it's a state-owned church that's not a non-profit, if the church has a nomination, I don't even tithe with a denomination church. If it's a non-denomination church, I do give here and there, but I don't believe in tithing, not at all. Yesterday, I was looking at the book of Matthew, chapter 6, what Jesus says about money. I'm going to look at that again this morning, and if you have your Bibles, or if you don't have a Bible, you could take notes, write down every scripture I read. Let's go to chapter 6 of the book of Matthew. And I'm going to go to the book of Luke afterwards and talk about and read what Jesus talked about in about money. Chapter 6 of the book of Matthew. For those who are listening to this podcast, what Jesus says in verse 24 is that no one can serve two masters. That's what these prosperity preachers do. That's why I don't tithe in church, because I don't serve God in money. It says, for either he will hate one another and of the other, or else he will be loyal to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. That is true. You can't serve both masters. What do you think? This is why I don't tithe. At all. This is why I don't tithe. Because if You go to church and you tithe? The next time you go, or Wednesday night, or whenever they have their Bible studies, their evening services, some of them hold a Wednesday night service, have them hold a Tuesday night or Thursday night service. You go on into that evening service. You go, "Hey, Reverend, you look nice today. Is that new? I thought the money I gave you was gonna go to the poor and to the orphans and widows, not to yourself. What's up with that fancy car out there in the parking lot? Is that your Mercedes?" "Yeah, it is my Mercedes. Well, Pastor, it's really nice. I love that car. Man, I wish I had all that money like you do, Pastor. I wish I had that nice suit you're wearing. You look pretty handsome this morning. I like it." Not. "Yeah, I've been a little wise this morning because I just want to let you guys know why I don't tithe. Like what I said yesterday about my buddy Dave and why he doesn't take offerings, because I'll be going up to him and say, 'Hey, Dave, you look nice. Is that your Mercedes out there and out front? I like it. I like that Mercedes. I didn't know you were spending my money on me, on yourself. For a nice fancy suit, nice Mercedes. If you're tithing in church and your pastor has a nice suit and driving a Mercedes, don't even go back there. I'm telling you. Let's look at 1 Timothy and what Paul says about serving God in money. Man, God has me fired up this morning, guys. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17. It says, "Command those who are rich in the present age not to be haughty, nor to trust the uncertain riches, but in the living God who give us richly all things to enjoy." If things are of God, and God is giving us things to enjoy, that is what I like. If a pastor says that, "Oh, donate to my ministry, doesn't matter what size you give, God would bless you with a seed that you sow by giving money to me." In a video I'm gonna be working on at some point during the week, I'm going to be showing clips of Kenneth Copeland and what he says about money. He says, "Money cometh to me." Really? Money cometh to you? What does it say in the Bible that money comes to me? Jesus doesn't say it. But he says, I want the money in my hands right now. Not happening. That's why I don't donate to a ministry that is not my own. If it's my own ministry, and the pastor's a close friend of mine, yeah, I'm gonna give him my money. But I don't donate online, and I don't donate through mail. Only time I donate is if I'm at the church, or at a church event somewhere else. That's the only time I donate to church. If it's a buddy of mine that's in ministry, I donate to this church all the time. Well, how can you donate to your ministry? Well, if your partner's asking for donations, of course you're going to donate to your own ministry. It's your own money going to the families who needs it the most. That is the orphans and widows. Building an orphanage, a church orphan home for these kids and overseas that don't have a family. Last night, I went to see a movie called Instant Family. And it's about the orphans. And it's about how a couple had rescued a teenage girl, beautiful girl, who was going to be aged now of the system. She was only 15 years old. She had 2 more years left. She had 2 little siblings. A 5-year-old and a 11-year-old. She had aged out. She wasn't adopted. Because she grew up in a bad home. Her mom was a drug addict in the movie. And she was doing well. And she was using again. The caseworker had to pull him out. Do you know what CPS is doing to these kids? Do you know what CPS stands for? Child Protective Services. Do you think they're truly protecting our kids? They shouldn't have an age limit on these kids. They shouldn't tell a child 17 years old you're too old to be in the foster care system. How cruel is that? A government system has an age limit on these kids. To me, I think a child deserves, doesn't matter how old they are, they deserve to be in the foster care system. for as long as they need until a permanent home comes. A permanent home. Do you think these churches care? Do you think they care? No, they don't. No, they don't. They do not care. They do not care about these kids. They care about themselves. I'm not saying all churches are selfish, but these mega churches are. We're trying to open up their eyes and let them see what they're doing is wrong. I used to go to a mega church. My church had 8 campuses all over Phoenix. All over Phoenix. My dad and I used to go to the campus in Glendale. Glendale, Arizona. It's a beautiful campus. The pastor had money. His family. His dad was a pastor. And they're on TV every Sunday. Every Sunday, not on television. They're not just only broadcasting on television. They're broadcasting on radio. They're broadcasting on the internet, live. They're making millions. The former pastor of CCV in Arizona, $58 billion he has. $58 billion. Or should I say $58,000. How ridiculous is that? $58 billion. He's a billionaire. He is. He's a billionaire. What is he doing with those? With all that money? Besides open up an 8th campus in Arizona. There's one in Tempe. There's one in Goodyear. There's a campus all over. All over Phoenix. All over Phoenix. What do you think Arizona has a city named Phoenix? If you look up Phoenix, the name of it, it's a bird. It's a bird that is gonna come. Called a phoenix. Research it. Everywhere you go, there's a symbol of the phoenix. Of the phoenix bird. Always. Everywhere you go. There's a phoenix bird there, phoenix bird here, there. The phoenix bird is all over the place. That's the history of Phoenix. there's no other cities with that name Phoenix. There's no Phoenix, Texas. There's no Phoenix, Philadelphia, and Pennsylvania. Phoenix, Arizona is the only city. Arizona is the only state that's a city named Phoenix. There's no other Phoenixes around that I know of. But Phoenix, Arizona. And CCV has campuses all over Phoenix. They worship the bird, Phoenix. They do. They don't worship God. Every Sunday, not just Sunday, but Wednesday nights as well, the pastor stares at the camera and says, donate to me. Donate to the ministry. Of any size, I'll give you anything you want. God is planning to not see it in your heart. These bookstores that they have. It's mind-boggling. Every time you go to church, every campus you go to, there's a bookstore on that campus. Every book you buy, they're making money off you. Money, 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 money. This book, that book, this book, that book, this book, that book. Where's the money going to? Yeah, it's coming out of your banking account. Your checking account. Or on your savings. They don't care. If you buy a book, if you buy their book, the money's going into their pockets. They're not going to a foreign country to build an orphanage. Your money's is going to nice clothes, nice shoes, a mansion with an indoor pool. Look at Kenneth Copeland. I see the picture of his house. And there's it's a 53,000 square foot property. I'm going to say it again. It's a 50,000 square foot land. Do you know what you could do with that property? That much land? You could build houses on it. Take down the mansion, buy the property, and build houses for the homeless. Give them a home. That's what the money should go to. Give it to the county to build houses for these people who are on the streets. And give them a home. There's single moms out there who live on the street and they're worried about their children starving to death. Give them a home. Go to your town hall or city hall, wherever you live. Go to the mayor. Talk to your mayor. Talk to your politicians. Your local politicians. Say, this is what I have in mind. This is what I want to do. This is how I want it done. Every pastor should do that. Every pastor should say, this is what I want. This is how I want it done. This is my thoughts. This is my idea. This is what I want. This is what I want done. Like my buddy Dave. He's planning things for the foster care kids. He's telling the city of Port Travis, this is what I want, this is how I want it done, this is how I, this is my vision. This is how my vision is. Pastors, if you have a vision for if families in need, tell your politicians what your vision is, and they will help you with it. They will. They will help you in any way, shape, or form. Your town, your city, wherever you live, they will give you their full support. They will. It's all that matters. They will give you their full support. I'm going to close with one more thing. Because I want you to keep this in mind before I close this podcast. I want you to write down three things. Three things. I want those three things on your vision. I would like you to write down what your vision is. What you want to do. And how to accomplish it. Accomplishment is the most important thing. Get the churches involved, ladies and gentlemen. I'm telling you, get them involved. If your church has a prosperity pastor, don't even bother. Don't bother. If you have a vision, you want to start a board, like we're doing, go to your pastor and tell him what your vision is. Do it. Right now. Do it. Do it this week. Do it this Sunday. You'll see what would happen. You'll see what God is going to do. Let's pray. Father, I thank you this morning. I thank you for our kids who are in the foster care system. I just want all these churches to step up to the plate and to rescue those kids who are in need. And Father, I just ask that every person that is going to a church that don't preach the truth, don't preach your word, to get them out of that church, Father. And just open up every eyes of these prosperity preachers to show them the purpose of your kingdom, and to open up their, to soften their hearts and have an open mind of what they are doing is not of you, it's of the devil. And I command in the name of Jesus that Satan would leave these churches alone to step away from the pulpit and let you take charge of your own church, Father. I thank you for Joel Osteen, Father. I thank you for what you are doing with him and in him. And just ask that you fill him up with your Holy Spirit, Father. And just ask that you fill up those people who go to Lakewood Church, Father. And just let them feel you, let them feel your presence, let them feel you working in him, in them to succeed in life, and Father. Those who go to Eagle Mountain Church with Ken Copeland as senior pastor, Father, I just ask that you fill them up with your Holy Spirit, Father. Just open up the eyes of Ken Copeland, Father. Just let him see what he's doing is wrong, Father. Just in the name of Jesus, that Ken Copeland would have a clear mind of what he's doing is wrong, and being greedy and taking money from people to buy these private planes and these jets that he has, Father. Thank you for Jesse Duplantis, and just ask that you heal him, you give him every opportunity to preach the truth, not prosperity gospels, but the gospel of Jesus. Father, thank you for Joyce Meyer. Just ask that you open up her eyes and open up her heart, open up her mind to be filled with your Holy Spirit, Father. All these prosperity preachers on TBN and that are on TV that don't preach the gospel, that just false gospels, Father, just fill them up. And T.D. Jakes, Joyce Meyer, Joel Osteen, all of them would be filled with the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. And the devil is going to flee from these churches in the name of Jesus. Every mega church would be freed from the power of darkness and the power of the enemy. All these mega churches would be removed from the power and the chains that Lucifer has around them, Father. In the name of Jesus, that these mega churches would be free and to preach the truth of your word to rescue these orphans and to put them in a forever home, Father. And it's in your name, Jesus, I pray. Amen. Thank you for listening, ladies and gentlemen. And pray for those pastors. Avoid TBN. Don't listen to them at all. Do not listen to them. Don't watch TBN at all. I'm not a big fan of Paul Jan Crouch. Not at all. I'm not a big fan of them. I don't believe what the word they say. They don't preach Jesus from the Bible. They preach the prosperity Jesus. The Antichrist. Only pastors I like on there is Greg Laurie, Tony Evans. And Dave Jeremiah. They are the only ones I like. Jesus says, they'll go over there, the Christ is there. They'll go over here, the Christ is over there. They are sheep and they are wolves in sheep's clothing. I'm going to close with this chapter 10 of the book of John. I'm going to close with the book of John chapter 10. It's what Jesus says. It says, most assuredly I say to you that he who does not hear does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way. The same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hears his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him. Do not know the voice of strangers, meaning the enemy. I'm going to finish reading what Jesus says. I want to read the whole chapter. And I'm going to close with the whole chapter. Jesus used the illustration, but they did not understand the things which he spoke to them. Then Jesus said to them again, most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All whoever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. And will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life, and that they may have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But a hireling, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf comes, the sheep is scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep. I am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of the folds of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. Therefore my Father loves me, because I laid down my life that I may take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay down my life. I lay down of myself. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. This command I have received from my Father. Therefore, there was a division again among the Jews because of these sayings. Actually, I'm going to stop there. Do you see? Do you get what Jesus is saying about these false prophets? A wolf in sheep's clothing? You have to focus on the importance of the good shepherd. You are the sheep, and Jesus is the shepherd. Because Jesus told Peter to feed the sheep, and that means going out there to the world, making disciples and sharing the word of Jesus. And I thank you all for listening this morning. And remember this, to keep strength, keep faith, love God. God bless you.